Welcome back to the Viking Update Show. Right before this show began, we're recording on Wednesday afternoon, the Vikings signed two linebackers who they, I'm certain, will trade for two or three of the best quarterbacks in the draft. That's what, because everything's about the quarterbacks in the draft. No, they signed Jihad Ward and Kemu Gridger Hill. And I might be butchering their names. I apologize. I'm just getting to know these players as we speak. Our friend Alec Lewis from The Athletic said that, Ward 29 had a career high 6 sacks last year for the Giants. Gruger Hill, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, also 29, has played special teams, most recently with Carolina, and has added depth. So it's not all quarterback news, John. They actually care about other positions, which I'm not sure the average casual fan watching ESPN would even realize. We'll get into all the ramifications. We'll get back into all the big news happening with the Vikings. I obviously was out of the country last week, so I'm catching up on some of this. Again, this is the Viking Update Show, part of TalkNorth.com. We're coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studios. I want to thank Aquarius Home Services, Define Destinations, Twill in the Edina Galleria, and TSR Injury Law. If you like this show or any show at TalkNorth.com, please subscribe to your favorite podcast app. It's free. It's the easiest way to listen. Thanks to our producer, Brandon Morton, and thank you for listening. We do appreciate it. So before we get to linebacker depth, let's go really big picture here, because I haven't talked to you in a couple of weeks. Where do you think this franchise stands after losing Cousins and Hunter? And is it as simple as, okay, they traded for a second first-round draft pick. That means they're going to package the two, move up, take McCarthy, and move on.
Yeah, I mean, where do they stand? It does look like they have sort of finally embraced the idea that the notion of sort of stringing together 10-7, 11-6 seasons, 9-8 seasons, and hoping that you get lucky in the playoffs and go forward is kind of over. That now they are making decisions based on trying to reconfigure their roster so that they can hopefully assemble something that will eventually, years down the road, be considered Super Bowl contenders. And so, by kind of making some of the decisions they have with Neil Hunter and others, and defense, but then also positioning themselves to move up in the draft for a quarterback, it puts them in a position to say, okay, we're going younger and we're going to try to assemble a group that, if it grows together and we pick the right players, a big caveat, that this team can emerge from sort of the depths of the division and really compete. Now, there are so many things that have to happen to do that, but I think that's the approach that they are taking. And yes, I do believe that they made the deal with Houston with the assumption that they can package to move up to get a quarterback that they believe is going to be their franchise quarterback for a long, long time. Again, we'll see if they make the right choice and what they have to pay to go do that. But I think that's fully the plan for them going into the draft now.
He's John Krasinski from The Athletic. You can also hear him on The John Krasinski Show, his Timberwolves Show, which is one of the most popular shows on the network. I'm Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune. Again, Brandon Morton is our longtime producer. And I agree with you. I think they got that second pick, so they have the ability to move up and get the quarterback they want. Do you think it's as simple as it's McCarthy and you trade up somewhere between 4 and 6 to get him? Or do you think there could be something stranger in the works here?
Well, yeah, I think the most likely scenario is, yes, that they're trying to get up to, yeah, in that 4 to 6 range with the pick that they acquired and maybe a future second or something like that to make it happen so that they can get, presumably, McCarthy. But I guess I cannot rule out that they really go into the Rudy Gobert style of pick an asset assemblage and pay to try to get up to 2 or 3 and get Jaden Daniels or Drake May. I think that Kwesi Adolphe-Mensah and Kevin O'Connell both certainly understand that this is a priority for them. They want to have a franchise quarterback that they can grow and develop because A, it will give them a little bit more job security. And you say, hey, we need 2 or 3 years to let this quarterback grow and assemble a team around him. Let's go. And B, just the importance of the position overall. I think that they both really understand that and want to go get it. So, but I just think it's going to be so difficult to get up to, like, let's say 3. I mean, maybe New England will trade down. Maybe they don't love one of the QBs up there. But I think the most likely scenario is JJ McCarthy at 4 or 5 for them. And then, you know, cue the speculation and the analysis of, did they overpay to get a guy like that? Is he good enough to merit that kind of investment of resources to go get?
Yes. And I really do think that the Commanders and the Bears and the Commanders are going to take Williams and Daniels probably in that order. I think the Patriots are likely to take May, but I think they're a little more of a wild card just because we don't really know how they'll operate post Belichick. And McCarthy's fascinating, isn't he? I mean, young, athletic, winner, who didn't throw the ball that much in college. And by the way, also had a couple of games, including his Bowling Green, where he looked amateurish. I'm not sure any of that matters, but he's fascinating because he's such a blank slate in so many ways.
It is it's the ultimate, I've said this before in this podcast, but like, it does remind me a little bit of Carl Anthony Towns. When he played at Kentucky, he was certainly a very, very good player. Good defensive player, really efficient scorer around the rim. He did not shoot 3-pointers at Kentucky. Calipari wouldn't let him do it, wanted him to focus on the low post game, and go that way. And so when he, when Flip Saunders went into the draft preparation, Jahlil Okafor was his number one guy. He's like, I think that Okafor's better than Towns. This is my guy. I'm going to take him number one. That's absolutely going to happen. They got to the workouts and Cat just absolutely blew the doors off of their workout with the shots that he was making from 3-point range, how easy and smooth it looked. And they realized that they just did not ask Carl Anthony Towns to do this. So we were not aware that he was capable of this. And so it became the no brainer number one pick to take Towns. Now, is that JJ McCarthy? Was it just that Michigan had great offensive line, really good running backs, had a coach that really believed that the way to win was, you know, especially with this team, play defense, win close games, do it that way. And we're not going to ask JJ McCarthy to do something just because this is the way that we're going to win games. And is he fully capable of dropping back, throwing 40 times a game, you know, making all those throws around? We don't really know. We haven't seen those workouts and things like that. So it's going to be fascinating to see if he is along the Carl Anthony Towns mold, or is this a Christian Ponder like kind of situation where, hey, we really need a quarterback. We got to trade up and just grab any quarterback. I don't know the answer to it. What I do know about JJ McCarthy in just watching Michigan a lot, because I love to watch Michigan and the way that they play, but I always was super impressed with his demeanor on the sideline, with the way that you could tell that he just led that team and had a grip on what needed to happen. If he hadn't done much of the game and they need a drive late in the game, he was the one that was doing it. Like, he was coming up with it. So from an intangible standpoint and from just that aspect, I love it. I think he looks to be the kind of player that you want leading your team. What I don't know is, can he make all the throws? What's his deep arm like? You know, is he going to be able to make that, 15 yard out and do that? Like, that's the question that I would have about JJ McCarthy that I think some of the other players, the Williams, Daniels, and May probably have more of a resume out there on their physical tools than we have for JJ McCarthy.
Yes. And listen, the draft's coming up. We're going to continue to analyze these quarterbacks while admitting that we might not know any more than the people making the picks who's actually going to be good out of this group. These are always busts. But it's a fascinating time to be a Vikings fan. Let's go back to the big picture here. In terms of building a team that can win next year, I don't know how highly you could grade this front office right now. But it is interesting how many people are now making the point, hey, look at all the salary cap space Kwesi is clearing for not only this year, but for the future. He's going to have all kinds of room to maneuver, and the salary cap has risen higher than expected. He's going to have all kinds of money to spend down the road. Do you think that was his plan, or that is just the where he ended up once Cousins decided to leave?
Yeah, it's a great question, because obviously, you know, we know of Kwesi that he is, you know, an analytic mind, that he looks, you know, any general manager, not just an analytics general manager, based general manager, is going to look at the 3 to 5 year windows and, you know, where they're at financially and how they stack up. But was it intentional to get to manage the roster these first 2 years to get to a point now where you are going to be in 2025 flush with like $100 million in cap space? I don't know if that was the case, but I know that they're here now, and that seems to be pretty enticing, actually, when you think about just where the team is at in its development of the roster, where, okay, Detroit is up right now. Green Bay looks like it's coming back up. Chicago, we'll see with the drafting that they do. But they're sort of, the Vikings are kind of looking up at the rest of the division right now. Would it be the worst thing in the world to start Sam Darnold all year long, bring in a rookie quarterback, lose some games, and then go into the offseason with all of that cap room and with, you know, maybe a second year quarterback that is ready to go, Justin Jefferson, all these guys, and then make a big leap? Yeah, I think it's reasonable now. We kept wondering during this season, okay, where's their path back to not just competitiveness, but like contention? And could you do it with Kirk Cousins? Could you do it by keeping this whole group together? And it seems like they have made the decision that, no, we couldn't do that. So now let's pivot a little bit, and let's really set us up for 2 years from now. And so they are in an interesting spot. Again, there's a lot of work they have to do. They have to pick the right quarterback. They have to sign the right guys with all of that cap space and everything. But you can at least see the outlines of a path toward viability again, where kind of in the middle of last year, you're looking at it, it's like, where are they going right now?
Yeah, and cap space is great. Mm-hmm. But if you don't draft the right quarterback, and if you don't draft better overall, cap space ain't going to work. You're not going to win with just free agents in the NFL, unless Tom Brady wants to come play for you or something like that, which you can't count on.
Right. Here's another interesting wrinkle, though, Jim, about the Vikings having $100 million in cap space is, you know, we've seen the player surveys the last couple of years that go out and where do the Vikings rank in terms of player friendly organizations? Right at the top, right? Yep. With their facilities, with their leadership, with all of those things. Is that going to ensure that they cash in free agency? No, it doesn't guarantee anything, but I do think that players, that this organization now has that reputation of one that takes really good care of its players. And I think that that is going to be very advantageous for them if they can get into a situation next season where they have a quarterback of the future that has promise. You have a pretty good roster of talent around you. And yes, you hit on some draft picks and get yourself back to some kind of level of competitiveness. Then you go in and you go into the recruiting wars and the bidding wars against other franchises. If you have those things, that reputation under your belt, that can help you. That can help you win over some guys and get some people that maybe otherwise wouldn't have given you the time of day if you didn't have that reputation.
Yeah, I wonder if it's a lure or more of a tiebreaker, but it's probably an individual decision on which it is. All right, let's get into the current acquisitions, including Shaq Griffin. First, tell us about your Defined Destinations tour.
DefineDestinations.com. Go there and find A Taste of Spain with John Krasinski. It's August 22nd through 29th. We're going to be going to Madrid and Barcelona, two of the most exotic cities in the world. And we're going to have ourselves one heck of a time. Sangria tours, food and wine tours, local museums, local sightseeing adventures, four-star hotels right in the hearts of both cities. We're going to take a train from Madrid to Barcelona. We're going to just really live it up in Spain. I've never been. I'm super excited to go. And I hope that you guys can come with me. We'll have meals together. We'll spend some time together. We'll also have plenty of time to spend on our own, kind of venturing off the beaten path and going where we want to go individually. And so I think it's going to be a trip that none of us will ever forget. And again, go to DefineDestinations.com for A Taste of Spain with John Krasinski. Sign up August 22nd through 29th. It's going to be just one heck of a trip, and I hope to see you all there.
So I'm going to tell you about Twill's spring arrivals next week. This week, I want to let you know that on Dawn of Sports, that's Don Mitchell's show on the network, we had Paul Allen in studio to check out the operation and do a show with us. He was spectacular. He was absolutely great about his career, how he got started. He's a great rags to riches story there. And while we're talking, he said, oh yeah, Twill sponsors you. And Paul admitted that he has been sponsored by another clothier in the Twin Cities for a long time. And he said, but I don't care. I love Scott Dayton. I love Scott Dayton shop. That's what we're talking about here. You go to the Edina Galleria, you deal with Scott Dayton, you're dealing with somebody who's reputable, who's been doing it for a long time, somebody who has great passion for his business, who's traveled the world looking for, I mean, he went to Vietnam and found some like handmade belts. I mean, that's the kind of shop this is. Great brands. And Paul was sitting there just, oh yeah, he's got this brand, he's got that brand, he's got that brand. He's shopped there before. That's the kind of spot we're talking about here. We're talking about a true Minnesota tradition. This is not a chain store. This is not a department store. They specialize in men's fashions. Scott has a great veteran staff. They are not going to try to sell you a computer. They're there to answer your questions if you have any about their inventory. The inventory is great. I wear it all the time. So check out twillmn.com or go to the Edina Galleria. Tell them we sent you. They'll treat you great. I guarantee it. I also want to let you know we're coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studios. We want you to know more about Aquarius Home Services.
Scott for Aquarius, wishing you a happy new year. And happy? How can we be only halfway through winter? Want some good news? Now is the time to replace your old furnace and AC with a new high-efficiency whole home heating and cooling system. Because at Aquarius, you can install it now and not pay a penny until next year. Visit AquariusHomeServices.com and schedule your free estimate today. Financing offer subject to available credit. Aquarius, earning the right to be recommended.
And as always, we want to thank our longtime sponsors, TSR Injury Law. If you're injured, just call 612-TSR-TIME. They'll take great care of you. They won't charge you unless they win your case, and they win a lot of cases. That's why you see their billboards everywhere, including their new Timberwolves billboards. All right, so the Vikings have signed Shaq Griffin to add to their large free agent haul at this point. I think, you know, obviously the deal tells you that he's not at a very high point in his career. He's kind of a long shot or a depth player, but of the free agent acquisitions they've made, who impresses you? Who intrigues you?
You know, I've liked the idea of Shaq Griffin. So I want to, you know, I think anytime you can add some depth to a secondary that desperately needs it, that's great. But I am intrigued. I will say, I won't say excited or I won't say hyped yet or anything like that, but I'm intrigued by Grenard. And adding him, because I'm not really familiar with his game, but it looks like he is kind of a younger version of Daniil Hunter, that they believe can really blossom, and his best football is yet ahead of him. And he's going to come in to a spot where he is absolutely needed, and he's going to get plenty of run and plenty of opportunities to be productive with Brian Flores in this defense. So I want to see what they're able to do with a young player like him, athletic, big, strong, and see if like they can make something out of him. They've certainly invested in him to a pretty good degree. And so what he looks like just on the field in this defense is probably my biggest intrigue right now.
I think he's a good player. I also think Van Ginkle, when you look at his numbers, his efficiency, and the price they got him for, I think Van Ginkle could be a great find. Griffin, I don't know. I don't know if he's going to be a starter or just a depth guy or just a veteran who helps the young guys along. But the guy who really, because we all love offensive football, the guy who makes me wonder the most on this roster, because I do think Van Ginkle, Cashman, and Grenard are good players. Aaron Jones is fascinating when you analyze him. Long career, yet he's only 29, had cumulatively maybe the worst year of his career last year because of injuries and some early season inefficiency. And then the last five or six games, he was as good as any running back in the NFL. It's a position of need. He also is probably going to be really good for Ty Chandler. What do you think of the Aaron Jones addition?
I like the idea of Aaron Jones. What I'm wondering about is, hey, he's 30 years old, right? Like, can he stay healthy? I mean, he's not one of those guys that you look at. He's not like a Derrick Henry in terms of workload over the years in Green Bay. There's a possibility that he has a little more tread left on the tire. You're right, Jim, that when he is still a player that when he is right, he's still explosive. He's still dangerous. And certainly so much more skilled and dangerous than what the Timberwolves had, or the Vikings had last season in the running game. So I think if he can stay healthy, that's great. I think he will be an upgrade, certainly over Alexander Mattison. If this also means that in order to keep him healthy, Ty Chandler gets more work, I'm all for that. I want to see that. I want to see what that looks like. I'm not sold on him being a reliable, you know, 2-3 down back yet. But I do want to see more of him and see if he's able to find a rhythm and get a bunch of carries and rack up some yards, because he does have plenty of speed and plenty of athleticism to be good there. Now let's just see if he can do it. But finally, what I really do like about Jones is he's really good in the passing game. He can make things happen. He can catch passes. He can be a factor in that part of it. And I'm sure Kevin O'Connell is very excited about adding someone with his versatility there. So as long as they can keep him healthy, as long as he's not falling off a cliff at 30 years old, as some running backs do, as does happen to some running backs, I'm all for, you know, giving it a shot and seeing what you have there.
Last topic for today. Paul Allen talked about it on the Don Mitchell show. He said that he knows O'Connell very well. He can kind of tell what he's thinking when he's talking to him. He talks to him regularly. And he said that he could tell during the combine when O'Connell started talking about being disappointed in process. He really thinks that O'Connell and the Vikings think that the Atlanta Falcons went over the top in tampering with Kirk Cousins, that they kind of let him know well before they should have that, hey, we got a lot of guaranteed money and a lot of years waiting for you. Do you think that, if that is a legitimate complaint, do you think it has any legs? Do you think the NFL would even do anything about it? Or is the NFL just say, hey, everybody tampers, we're not going to worry about it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it seems like, and Cousins said it at his press conference, essentially let the cat out of the bag about some of the conversations that he had that technically were before the window opened, that you can't, like, the Vikings could press for damages that way in getting some compensation, some further compensation from Atlanta. Heck, maybe if they got a pick, that they could throw that in their package to trade up and get a quarterback that they really want. Maybe there's the motivation there to try and make this seem like more nefarious than it actually was. In my philosophical stance, I don't think that tampering is a big deal. I never have thought it's a big deal. I can guarantee you that if the Atlanta Falcons did not tell Kirk Cousins about all of this money that they had for him, and on the first day that they were allowed to, offered him $180 million, he would have taken that deal. And so, you know, I just think that Everyone tampers. Like, if you're going to call, you know, foul on that, you better watch your own house. You better not be tampering with anyone else, your own, on your own front. And I guess I would be a little surprised if the league acted, but if they did, I know the Vikings would be very happy. Either they get a pick to use on a player, or they get one to try and throw into the pile to move up to maybe even higher than four and get someone they really like.
I think unless they had rented a billboard in Indianapolis and put the offer up, I don't think the NFL is going to look into it too hard.
No, I mean, and like, Kirk Cousins' agent is one of the best in the business. Like, you don't think that he knows what's available out there. Like, you don't think that kind of homework that he is tasked with doing prepared Kirk Cousins for what was coming. And it, like every other free agent does out there. And so maybe Cousins' agent had a little more of a read on the market than some other players do, but I just don't think that was going to change the outcome. Would Cousins have signed the extension, or, you know, if they didn't tamper? Maybe. Is that really what the Vikings wanted? I don't know. So, I can't bring myself to get too mad at it or to try and investigate it deeply and call the Falcons on the carpet for it and say it's the worst thing ever. I just think this is life in the NFL, in the NBA. I think anyone should be able to do this, you know, within reason, right around free agency. And, you know, losing, you weren't going to lose him because of that. You were losing him because you didn't want to pay him what the Falcons paid him. And I don't blame the Vikings for not wanting to do that, but that's what ended it. Not any kind of tampering.
Agreed. Again, check out the John Krasinski Show. Check out Dawn of Sports with Don Mitchell. Great show with Paul Allen this week. Thanks to John. Thanks to Brandon Morton. We'll talk to you next week.